favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Ooh, also really quick.
Uh-huh, I am recording, so whatever you're about to say.
I know, I saved it for when you started recording. You have not listened to any of New Adventure Zone, right?
No.
Please listen to the most recent one. It's from a live show. It's The Adventure Zone versus Moby Dick.
Oh my God.
And Griffin says, whale-lissy.
Whale-lissy.
At least twice.
Well, on that note.
Woo!
I was like holding that, like there's a fucking imprint on my finger from holding that. Ow! All right, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, not Anthony Fuentes nor Phil Acevedo. We got Danny Gutierrez in the house.
Howdy, howdy. I'm back and I'm ready to talk.
We are ready to talk. So, Anthony is on vacation currently, which good for him. And I think Phil is also, so it's just me. They left me in charge. I'm driving this bus. You guys are all kids in my hot car.
Was it the end of Nightmare on Elm Street 2? The bus scene?
Yes. Yes, that is exactly it.
This is it?
This is it. We are just going to do something quick and easy since everyone is busy on vacation. Monster May has been put on a bit of a hiatus. We'll probably return with more episodes closer to June, my birthday mandate. I have some very fun picks.
This is kind of a monster movie, though.
It is.
It dips its toe in a lot of things.
It dips a lot in a lot. Lots of bodily fluids, I would say.
Oh, my God. And not the fun ones.
No. Not the fun one.
There's no fun in this movie at
there's
all.
There's no fun. We are doing a little review from When Evil Lurks, which is a super totally, like, very, very, like, not, I don't want to say commercially acclaimed because it's a direct-to-shutter production, but, like, the horror fans have been hyping this up since the better part of last year.
I mean, it's basically another version of Skinamarink.
Yeah.
Where it was hyped so much, and then it gets released on Shudder, and it literally blows so many people's minds.
I was going to say, so many tits just blown off.
Tits, gone.
Gone.
she's flat now.
Oh, no.
But also, like, Alex and I were talking about this. So upset it took us this long to watch this movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it, I have this thing where if someone tells me I need to watch something right away, it immediately becomes the least appealing thing for me to want to watch. I know it's a disease. I know, like, it is an illness, but it's still a problem.
Insert sound clip of Phil telling Alex to watch any movie of all time.
Literally any movie from the last 5 years. It's like, you gotta see, like, Anything Everywhere All at Once.
She's not gonna watch Dune 2 for at least 10 years now.
It's
sorry,
streaming
Phil.
Now. It's streaming now. Although he did say I'm supposed to see it in IMAX, but at this point,
we'll buy a projector.
I'll just get really close to the TV. I'll just sit on that end of the couch and just
lights out,
lights off. I'll sit at the far end of my couch with binoculars.
Oh my God.
Anyway, enough about that. So yes, we're talking about When Evil Lurks, which was released in 2023. I believe, so we have some general info. It was released on September 13th, 2023 at the Toronto International Film Festival.
Thank you for translating that, because I was like, what the fuck is Tiff?
Who is she?
Who is she? I love her.
I love Tiff. No, it's the Toronto International Film Festival. For a millisecond, I was like, fuck, what is it? And I was like, oh, okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It was released in the United States on October 6th, and it had a special release in Argentina on November 9th, 2023.
So it hasn't been out that long.
No.
But it honestly feels like so much longer because of how hyped this movie was. I know. Was.
Everyone and their fucking mom was talking about this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do we even begin? So let's start. This is directed by Demian Rugna, written by Demian Rugna as well, starring Ezequiel Rodriguez, Demian, Solomon, Luis Ziembrowski.
Brown Ziembrowski. Unpredictable.
Ziembrowski. Sylvia Sabater, and Marcelo Mikanow.
Nice.
I believe is that.
I'm going to say Mikanow is good.
This was also produced by Shudder and distributed by IFC and Shudder as well. I don't have any spending available right now on good old Wikipedia, but it did make $1.6 million, which is more than I was expecting.
Honestly, I think $1.6 million shits on whatever they spent for this movie, because this movie, while there are very good effects,
it's all practical.
It all looks practical. I don't see a lot of, maybe the gunshot to the goat, but like, I don't
that's the only thing. They're not shooting goats.
Yeah, like, I don't see a lot of CGI happening here. This made so much more than what it cost to make.
I hope so. Well, also getting purchased by Shudder and being on distribution services and all that. Holy shit, guys. I don't even know where to begin. So, this is, it's an Argentinian film, so it's Argentina-Spanish.
Yeah.
I don't know, did that throw you off at all?
That was one of the first things I noticed. I'm pretty sure I told you about this. One of my coworkers is Cuban, and she speaks fluent Spanish, and every time she speaks Spanish, I'm like, what dialect is this? Because, like, what the hell? I'm Mexican, in case anybody who's curious.
He's brown.
Yeah, I am brown. I am of the browns. But, like, her accent is so much different. And it trips people out, because if you're not ready for it, you're just like, I got everything you said, but where are you from?
Right.
And so I picked that up almost immediately. And I was like, oh, this isn't, like, you know, your California, Mexico, Spanish. This is something south, or maybe even islands. Like, this is different. But still, it wasn't hard to understand. I did notice that some of the subtitles are, like, translated wrong.
Kind of incorrectly. Tracks.
But, like, it was still okay. I still picked up the gist. Sure. And, like, the subtitles were fine.
It's in the same way that, like, subtitles for foreign or not English language films, like, give you the general gist, but not necessarily a word-for-word translation to account for, like, colloquialisms in each language.
Exactly.
So, that makes sense. I know even Netflix had a problem with this, because there were two forms of subtitles that you could have on Netflix. Like, there was one, that was, like, basically, like, the problem was with Squid Game, specifically. I remember this being, like, a whole thing. Okay. It was, like, the subtitles, there was one from people, like, Korean people who spoke English who did it, and then American people who spoke Korean. And the one with Korean people who spoke English gave it the proper context and, like, translated the colloquialisms a little bit better, versus the Americans who spoke Korean, or, like, the people with English as their first language.
Yeah. It wasn't
It was different. It wasn't translated correctly.
And I think we got that version on Shudder. Honestly, does not take away from the film at all. Even if you don't understand where those are missing, it was great.
Well, like, even, like, the Spanish version name, I'm not going to say it, because, you know.
It's up here somewhere.
It's literally right next to it. I'm like, I don't know if that does. Wait, yeah, I mean.
Cuando acecha la maldad.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's where evil. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a.
It's roughly.
Yeah. But I think just, you know, when evil lurks just sounds very good in English.
It just, yeah.
And, so really quick, before I even get into the movie, the poster, the card, whatever you see on Shudder.
The title card.
The title card that you see on Shudder is the girl kneeling with the axe facing
her. Axe in front of her!
Black and red.
Yes.
It's a very classic, very throwback, like, this is an evil movie looking poster.
So that actually, it kind of I don't want to say that itself put me off from watching it, but because no one would tell me what the fucking movie was about, because everyone was like, you gotta watch it, you gotta watch it. I was like, what's your name?
What's your name?
What's the movie about?
I think I saw like a review, it was a review with no spoilers of it. Then I may have seen a trailer somewhere. When it came, like when it was first put on Shudder, I was like, fuck yeah, well, this thing.
I think the big catalyst for both of us to, well, for me to watch it and then bully you into watching it was that thing that they put up on Shudder on the Instagram where it was just like it had like a snippet of a scene. Because we had been, like, basically...
That's what it was, because that's when I added it to my list.
Because we had been going back and forth, like, saying, like, oh, I want to watch this movie, oh, I want to watch this movie. And, like, Shudder does a great job with its, like, promotion.
Oh, great.
I kept seeing, like, things without context, which was really cool. And that was kind of what put me, and I was just like, you know what?
It's time.
You know what? Let's set the scene, shall we? Actually, on that note, it is a beautiful Sunday morning. I, not wanting to be bothered, order a delicious breakfast burrito because I didn't want to make breakfast. Shut the fuck up.
I made the same mistake.
And because I didn't want to make breakfast, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to order my burrito. I am going to sit back and watch something new. Which, if you know me, that is a rare fucking feeling for me in my life.
Yeah.
Like, usually I'm like, what season of Law & Order SVU should
what,
I...
What can I rewatch?
Right, what can I rewatch to soothe my soul? And I was just like, you know what? I've been trying to watch this movie forever. I'm in the mood to watch something, and I have the attention span to watch something that isn't in English. Yeah. Which is also a big part of it, because, like, for me personally, as someone who barely has a grasp on the Spanish language, I was like, I can't. I this needs my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, okay. So I get my breakfast burrito. I'm sitting down. I'm chilling. And then the first 10 minutes of the movie happens, and I feel physically ill for the next 4 hours.
And I get the text, hey, have you seen When Evil Lurks yet? And I'm like, no, dude, honestly, I'm probably going to watch it this coming weekend.
Yeah.
And she goes, do not eat. Because it is so fucking gross.
So gross.
And I'm like, is it that bad? She then proceeds to describe this breakfast burrito to me. And I'm like, damn, that sounds good. And she's like, yeah. And then imagine someone just takes a shit on it. Or like, what are you saying? And I'm like,
oh, no, God. Yeah, hold on. When Evil Lurks. I need to, like, read this exact text conversation. Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. What the fuck? Where is it?
We were texting a lot in between.
I know.
I was giving you updates as I was watching it, too.
That's true. I did get a live... What?
You always get the live tweet version of what's
happening to me. I do, and honestly, it's genuinely one of my favorite things. Okay, here it is. Have you seen When Evil Lurks? Not yet, did you? I'm watching it right now. Not a good movie to eat during, just FYI. Danny says, oh, I heard. And I was like, I did it. A bitch was just trying to enjoy her breakfast burrito.
So, for those who know...
No,
I mean, you know exactly. But, so, like we were saying, we got, you know, just bombarded with people saying, watch this movie, all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I put it on my list on Shudder. I would get to it eventually. And I kind of had the same thing where, like, especially with movies that aren't in the English language, I do understand Spanish, but I also watch everything with subtitles.
Right.
So I want to pay attention, especially because it's a new movie. I heard it was incredible. Like, I want to give it my full attention. And I kind of wasn't in that brain space for a minute.
Totally. Feel that.
And so one day, I think, where the fuck? Lexi and I were at, like, a Dodger game or something. Mm-hmm. Something random. And she, when we go to Dodger games, she's on Twitter a lot. She's a big part of Dodger Twitter, like, very active. And so she's scrolling Twitter before the game starts, and I hear her go, what the fuck? And I turn, and I'm like, what? And she goes, dude, look at this. And so it's the dog scene with the girl.
Ah.
And I have no idea what's coming.
No.
And so...
I hadn't seen that scene beforehand, and it scared the shit so out of me.
It happens, and I'm like, fuck! Rewind it.
And so she do it again. Rewinds it
a few times. Like, I literally watched that scene at least 5 times at Dodger Stadium. And fuck, I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And then I see she finally, like, closes the video, and I can see the tweet, and they're like, dude, this movie's wild. When Evil Lurks. And I'm like, oh, fuck. This, and I was like, that's it, when I knew I need to dedicate, like, the energy, the time. Like, I need to pay attention.
Like, that was another big part where I was just like, okay, not only is this movie not in English, which is fine. Like, I watch, like, foreign language or non-English films are, like, my favorite.
I saw a thing about Audition today, and I was like, yeah!
So, for those of you who don't know, for my birthday last year, I made Danny and Ruben watch it. Ruben, not a huge horror fan, and he was deeply upset. He was so upset. I honestly think he was a little upset with me. Because also, it was my birthday.
Yeah.
It was my birthday last year, and I was like, I want to watch this movie. And you guys were like, fuck yeah. Like, you know, he brought me a gift and everything. God damn.
Takes it back.
I know, he's like, fuck you. But no, we take great pride in traumatizing Ruben with horror films. And so much so that yesterday, when everyone was over for Turning Tables, only on the Horrible People's Network, I was like, do we have a movie to show you?
Oh my god. Like, I genuinely want him to watch it.
Yeah, the gang traumatizes Ruben.
It'll ruin his month. It'll give him nightmares for a minute. Oh, and man. Like,
this is the guy who had to cuddle my cats to get through Skinamarink.
And Mad God.
Mm. Or was it Mad God? It was Mad God.
It was Mad God when it got, like, when he felt weird. Like, Skinamarink, he felt uncomfortable and not safe.
No, the cats. He was cuddling with my cats during Skinamarink. I remember because I insisted all the lights were off.
It had to be off.
And I look over and I see not one, but both of my cats in his lap, which they haven't done before and they haven't done since.
Yeah. But yeah, so she shows me that dog scene and I'm like, fuck, I already know now. Like, if this is one scene from the movie, I'm in for a fucking ride. Yeah. Like, I already know.
If you hear bell noises or, like, chimey noises, it's because Bowie is making sweet, sweet love to Danny's shoes.
As is tradition. But yeah, so this fucking dog scene blows my mind.
Fuck yeah.
It literally stays tattooed in my brain. And even when I came to that part in the movie, I was like, I know it's coming. Oh, fuck, I know it's coming.
The tension in that scene is fucking unreal. Like, it builds so well. Because also, it's like, it's overwhelming. We're going to try to keep this as spoiler-free as possible. But at least until a later point when I can talk about all the fucked up shit that made me feel gross.
Yeah.
It's like, the scene is honestly like a masterclass in building tension, because there's multiple layers to the tension, like interpersonal conflict and what's happening like outside of the direct conflict.
I mean,
and
the amount of arguments they're having.
Yeah.
Ladies arguing with our protagonist, with her husband, with the kids, all different things. And you feel her panic.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, but you also feel his panic, and you're just sitting there like, lady, I'm with you, but like, fuck, things are happening outside. Like,
open your eyes.
I need you to pay attention.
Totally.
It was so intense. And like, they argue for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Nothing happens but arguing for 5 minutes. And you're just sitting there like, Oh, I don't feel good.
Yeah, and you know, anyone who's grown up in a broken home with divorced parents, like, you're just like, oh, why?
This reminds me of things.
I know, I'm like, I don't like this. Stop. Do you just want to yell, like, stop fighting?
Can't you see it's tearing us all apart?
Exactly. If you hear a sudden cut there, that's because cords got in the way and I spilled the seltzer.
The seltzy was down.
On my computer. Yes. Thankfully, because I'm not drinking right now, it is not covered in booze, but still, it is still water, regardless. It's just bubbly water.
The bubbliest.
It's so good. I'm like on a big cherry lime kick right now.
Oh.
I don't know. It's refreshing. Okay. Where were we? I forgot.
We're talking about the dog scene and oof.
And just, tension.
The tension, yeah.
Yeah.
The pressure they build yeah. in that scene specifically. And there's so many other ones, like... The scene when he's sleeping in the car with his son.
Yeah.
And, like, the baby's with grandma, and that whole thing goes down.
That, the scene in the very, very beginning where they almost hit the kid in the road...
Oh, fuck, that's terrifying, because everyone's in the car yelling at each other.
Everyone's yelling, and then all of a sudden, just a collective, look out! And I was like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, shit, oh, fuck. So, yeah, there's a lot. I will say, we're 20 minutes in. If you haven't seen this movie, please go check it out.
Yeah,
don't be like me and refuse to go watch something when someone recommends it. Yeah, no. The hype is real, And I don't want to completely besmirch, what's the fucking other movie that we talked about that this movie has
Late Night with the Devil?
No, not Late Night with the Devil, the other one. The other
Skin and Rank?
No! When you were like, this has the same vibes as fucking the movie we covered last year for my birthday.
Mad God?
No!
We covered for your birthday.
For my birthday.
Oh, Audition.
Literally, you've named every other movie. No, the other Shudder exclusive where what's her putz cuts off her fingers, thinking they're carrots.
Oh, Dark and the Wicked.
Thank you, Jesus Christ! I couldn't remember, like, gun to my head. No, because at the very end,
I didn't even mention that before. That's why I was like,
no. When you were texting me about it, you're like, "This has Dark and the Wicked vibes."
Oh yeah, a little bit.
And I was and I said, "Oh, I'm so glad you said that because I wanted to see if you came to that conclusion also because I felt similarly."
It definitely does.
I think it's because they both take place on farms, maybe. I don't know.
It's very, because they're very middle of nowhere kind of things.
Yeah, kind of isolated.
And they kind of say that too. They're like, demons don't fuck with us out here. Like, it's a that's a big city thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, y'all the most haunted people.
Literally.
Boy.
So I was thinking with that, I don't want to completely besmirch Dark and the Wicked, but... this movie, I think, has a little bit more rewatchability.
Oh, 1,000%.
I won't know until I rewatch it, but, like, I do feel like...
I mean, I've already seen it twice in a week.
You've seen it.
So, I started it, what day, Sunday? When was I texting you? So, Sunday. I started it Sunday, and I stopped with 30 minutes left. Not because I couldn't handle it or anything, because I was...
Eepy.
Yeah, I was getting tired, and I was like, dude, you know what? I want to remember it. So...
Thank God, because I was in bed, like, waiting for your reaction. Yeah. I was like, I want to go to sleep so bad, but I need to know his thoughts and feelings.
It was also late. So I finished it later on, or earlier this week. And then when we decided we were going to do this, I was like, okay, I brought my laptop to work today, and I seriously watched an hour and a half of the movie. A little less, because I started it late.
There's like 2 hours. It's a 2 hour long movie.
I literally started it and stopped where I picked up. So, like, the ending was fresh in my brain already.
That's
but, like,
cool.
And I kind of refreshed myself on the beginning. So, I was like, fucking beautiful.
That's perfect.
So, it was so good. I mean, I stopped right when they got to the school.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, literally 30 minutes left. And totally. I remember that 30 minutes. Because, whew, this movie is, it's like, it's nonstop. But you need to pay attention.
Yeah.
Because everything... somebody says matters, even if that character means nothing.
Totally. Yeah, there isn't a lot of wasted dialogue in this film, I don't
Absolutely
think.
Absolutely not.
I like also that they refer to the possessed as rotten.
Yeah.
Like, no one's actually talking about demons and possessions. Like, it's like a sickness. Like, it's like you're rotten.
Well, I think the only time you hear about demon is, like, when our boy is yelling at stepdad about using a gun, and he's like, you're not gonna find what you're looking for, you're gonna find a demon.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, it's so intense, and the lore is so good.
Okay,
and they don't
they don't
give you everything. It, like, slowly trickles in, but their quote-unquote demon rules are so good.
Well,
it feels very Catholic horror.
Yes. You're reading my fucking mind, because that was exactly where I was going to go, too. This movie doesn't spoon-feed you a goddamn thing.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's like, there is this predetermined set of rules and understandings of what the possessions are. Like, even, like, in towns, like, they have, like, emergency things set up for if, like, there's an outbreak. Like, it's like, almost like a weird combination of zombies and possessions.
It almost feels post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Like, especially with the zombie reference.
Totally.
Where they're, like, when they bring it up, and a lot of characters are like, that doesn't happen here. That's a big city thing. Like, they already know it happens. They have songs about it for kids, so the kids know. Like,
yeah, it was like a nursery rhyme type shit. And, like,
you know, when she's telling his kids about it, and he's like, Mom, that's enough. And she keeps going, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, let me get that. Yeah. I need that lore drop. But it was so good. And then, like, there's other characters that drop more lore, and you're just sitting there like, dude, this is incredible, because they all know it. All the characters know it, and, like, none of this, like, this is comes, like, the, everything that happens in the movie comes as a shock to our characters, but they also know what's happening. They know what to do.
Yeah.
They just don't know how to deal with it, because they know how to prevent, but not, like,
well, and this deal with it. Whole thing starts. So we've talked a lot about, like, the plot, the general vibes of this movie. I want to take a moment to talk about the characters.
Yes.
The main characters make some of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen, ever.
Our boy Pedro.
Fucking Pedro, man. No, because here's the thing. Ezequiel Rodriguez. He makes the stupidest decisions, but in all fairness, they make sense. Mm-hmm. Like in a panicked mindset. Like, obviously, it's easy for us as viewers to be like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But, like, he's a father trying to protect his children.
I mean, he's trying to protect his whole family.
Yeah.
Because he does try to... He even goes back and tries to get ex-wife and new husband.
Yeah.
He's like...
And kid who's not his.
Yeah, like, kid who's not his. He's just like, hey, we gotta go. Like, we gotta do all this shit. And...
I think because, like, when you're panicked and when you're stressed, like, you don't, you're not eloquent. You can't explain yourself well.
Yeah.
And that translates really, really well in this film, because when he's panicked and trying to explain himself, he's not explaining in a way that, like, is really that clear. And it does make him sound, like, fucked up and weird.
Well, then the scene at the gas station when he gets the phone call and he sits down and his brother's talking to him and he's, like, having that realization of, I fucked up. Like, I should have done XYZ. I shouldn't have done all this stuff. And he starts, like, he has a mental breakdown. And you're sitting there like, damn, this is the most relatable shit. Because, of course, like you were saying, as we're watching, we're telling him, like, dude, this is dumb. But then he looks back and realizes, oh, shit, I made this so much worse for myself. That, like, man, it makes the character more relatable. Then you kind of put yourself in his shoes and it makes... You suffer more.
Mm-hmm. Totally. It's, the characters are layered in a way that I appreciate, especially for, like, a 2-hour film, like, and they can only do so much, right? And also make things spooky. But it's very, like, family-oriented. This guy, like, he has his mom, he has his kids, he has his brother, and they're all just, like, very, like, they're like, okay, we are going to figure this out.
I think that's a bigger, like, Spanish movie thing, where they make, like... I mean, it's very, like, Spanish culture, I guess, where they kind of, like, push, like, the family thing a little more. I mean, they did it in Walking Dead, obviously, as much as they could until they ran out of ideas.
I mean, just from my broad understanding, just as someone who's grown up around a lot of, like, Latin American cultures, but it's that whole, like... not nuclear family thing that is very American, where it's like it's the mom, the dad, the kids, and the dog, and that's it. It's the only people who live in the house, versus multi-generational families.
Exactly.
In other cultures.
And that's, like, I think they did that very well here, and I think it translates well for, like, the English crowds, or, like, the people who don't speak Spanish or raised that way, because you're still kind of like, fuck, dude, like, I'm with you, man. Like, I want you to save all these people.
Yeah. Okay. So that's about as vaguely not spoilery as I think we're going to get. I think now we can talk about the ookie gookie
shit. God.
So from this point on, if you haven't seen the movie, highly recommend you do so. And if you don't want to be spoiled, now is your chance to mosey on out.
It's, yeah.
Thanks
it's
for time. Listening,
Do
though.
Do not spoil this movie for
Honestly,
yourself.
Honestly, don't. It's so good. There, and, like, we really just scratched the surface. It's so good.
It was
and
just the tip.
Just the tip.
Fuck, this movie's good.
Yeah, all right. Go check out When Evil Lurks if you have a Shudder membership.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening. Okay. Ooh. Now that those nerds are gone.
Posers are gone. Let's talk about this fucking movie.
The posers that we were definitely a part of. Until last week. Yeah. Oh, man. What do you want to talk about first? I want to talk about how fucking, what's his face? Uriel.
The first time you see Uriel. Oh, my God.
Again, eating a breakfast burrito. It's going to haunt me.
I think he walks in and the camera looks at him and Uriel's mom is talking to Pedro and Uriel goes and he like spits and up all the pus.
It's so visceral and nasty. Like it like and I like body horror doesn't fuck with me that much. Like, usually I have a pretty good stomach for it.
But we had nothing to know what a rotten looks like.
No. And so, I'm kind of watching. And honestly, in the beginning, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to love this. We'll see. And then they walk into the house, and they're like, oh, he was coming to help Uriel. And then they're like, what's wrong with Uriel? And then they look around the corner, and there's Uriel, who's literally, inflated in, a flesh prison, and he's physically rotting. Like, there is, bile and pus, and
I think one of his eyes are shut.
Yeah, it's,
because his face is swollen.
His face is swollen. It is nasty.
Well,
and she's just like, I want to just put him out of his misery, because there's a... And then, that's how we kind of get the beginning of the lore.
That's when they wanted the cleaner to come do it.
Yeah.
Because she was saying we were keeping him alive for the cleaner.
Right. And they're like, well, the cleaner is chopped in half.
That's what's funny. It's like, before all of this happens, you see a body cut in half.
Also, to be fair, not the fun terrifier bisected cut in half. It's
across the belly. It's very pendulum. they were cut in half. And, you find, the brothers find those tools or whatever. And I'm sitting there what the fuck is Alex talking about? We've seen worse than this. what? And then Uriel, and I'm like, huh? As I'm mid-pizza bite, because of course I'm eating.
I told you not to. That's your own damn...
To.
That is your own damn fault.
But I'm just like, what the fuck is that? Oh, my God. But our boy Ruiz.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know. What do you think
about
Ruiz going in? He, of course, at this point we don't know the rules,
right?
And he runs up with the shotgun
in
the house, and he's gonna shoot Uriel.
Yeah,
we don't know that guns help the demons, and so he runs in. He doesn't kill him,
mm-hmm.
But then.
Everyone's just like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody's yelling at him not to do it. They're like, don't shoot him, don't shoot him.
Well,
and we don't know why.
Again, none of this is being spoon-fed. We don't shoot because of blah, 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 blah. It's just like, don't do it. Or not using electricity. Because for some reason...
Oh, yeah. Don't use electrical lights because the shadow draws the demons in.
It's all I'm just like, what are these rules, man? What are these rules?
What are the rules?
What are the rules? It's great. And so...
So they transfer the body. And just transferring the body from the bed to the truck is the grossest shit.
I'm just like, there's bodily fluids.
There's fluids. The sheet rips because he's so...
Inflated.
Inflated, but also the pus is pooling and there's bile and all kinds of shit.
I feel sick talking about it. I feel a little nauseous.
And the reason why it's fresh in my brain is because I watched it today.
Mm-hmm.
Can't eat. But,
Bowie, what are your opinions on When Evil Lurks? I was fucked up.
She was like, she was scarred for life.
Well, because, I have this theory. All cats speak Spanish.
Yeah. Look at her. Mother so help.
She knows what's up.
But like, so they move him out. They lose the body after almost hitting the kid. She's on the other side of your cord, by the way.
I see it. Thank you.
But
so they're transporting this dude where they're just like, all right, we're gonna put him out to pasture.
And what Ruiz is like, I'm gonna take him 200 kilometers out. Then they get 200 and they're like, go another. They go far as fuck.
Yeah.
Hey, Bowie.
And but also, so basically, they almost hit a kid. They swerve somehow. Fucking Uriel tucks and rolls and the kid like
calls him an asshole.
Yeah. Because he was. He almost hit a fucking kid. Watch where you're looking. Going. This is also another good tense moment because they're all yelling at each other.
And you see that kid. They show the kid in the road before they're even close to the kid in the road. And you're like, oh, fuck, they're going to hit the kid.
Every millennial knows. Car. Like, yeah. That kid should have gotten out of the way.
The kid was also, the kid had his back to the truck.
That's fair.
But he should have heard it. Whatever. Everybody was at fault in this scene. But, like, literally, as we're watching it, I'm like, oh, they're going to hit the fucking kid. God damn it. Hello, baby girl. But yeah, like, that whole thing. And then Ruiz is just like, oh, he's not in the bed? Not my problem. Let's go home.
Ruiz, you fucking prick.
But also, post this. When Ruiz shoots the goat.
Yes.
So Ruiz shoots the goat, and we have no idea how his wife knows that the goat is possessed until he pops off a shot in the air, and all the goats scatter except the one.
That was really good.
No, but what got me, it's, oh man, one of the coolest scenes, is he's aiming it, and he's telling it, get the fuck out of here, you son of a bitch, you motherfucker, all this stuff. And so he's yelling at it, and the ghost walks up and puts the barrel on its own head. And I'm like, flex! Oh, let's fucking go! Because that demon is challenging him.
Totally.
And I was like, oh. And of course, wife.
Freaking out.
Pregnant Very. Wife.
Like 10 months pregnant. Like pregnant super wife pregnant.
Is freaking out.
Yeah.
He pulls the trigger. And within seconds, when you see the axe into his head, I'm like,
yeah.
And so I lose my shit because she kills him. And then when she sits down, and of course, that's where we get the fucking card.
Title, yeah.
When she has the axe face at herself, I never noticed she was pregnant.
You didn't know you didn't notice?
I thought it was just like the way it was shot. Maybe her dress was a little big
or something. Are you talking about the title card?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the title card. I think it's that's on purpose.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about until she did that in the movie,
and I was just like, they mentioned it
very many times.
And the demon tells him, "I'm taking over your kid," but like when I see that, I'm like, "What?" I literally paused the movie, pulled my phone out to look at the card, and I'm like, "Oh, this bitch is pregnant." What the fuck? When
Evil Lurks title card.
It's not on the Wikipedia one because the Wikipedia one has a different one.
I don't like that one.
The hand?
Yeah, it looks stupid.
The girl with the axe facing herself is better.
She do be looking pregnant.
Yeah, but I didn't notice. No, I didn't know.
I think that was on purpose.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at it now. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, and then she smacks her own head against the...
4 or 5 fucking self-inflicted axe wounds to the head.
And they show every fucking hit.
And I think the hits are so good because they didn't do the classic hit and blood sprays out. It was a hit, a pause, and like light blood, and then a hit again. And you're just sitting there watching it. And you're
horrified.
Like,
so those are... And this is within the first... 30 minutes of the movie.
First 30 minutes.
And then continuing at a breakneck pace, the dog scene. So as we mentioned earlier, people fighting, lots of screaming, and then
the dog attacks the kid.
Attacks this kid, and she's just like, there's something wrong with the dog. There's something wrong with the dog. Because, again, he says,
the dog bit Vicky.
In the face.
And is hurting her.
Yeah. And really, what had happened was the dog bit her face and was dragging her by the face out of the house. Now, part of the lore of this movie, again, spoilers, is if you interact with one of the rotten, it can stick to your clothes. And so he literally shows up at his ex, the main character, freaking Pedro, shows up at his ex's house and immediately starts stripping naked. And everyone, and like,
my favorite is he drunk? Because he's naked, he's holding his dick and balls, and he's like, I need clothes.
What's wrong with the ones you just came in? And this is also, like, they live in a bigger town where they seem a little bit more, like, not, like, a little doubt, or, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Critical of the whole, like, possession thing. Like, yeah. They're not really buying it.
But also, with his interaction earlier with the police... They know who he is.
Yeah.
He's some type of problem. Because
he,
like,
has to be. Because also his ex-wife was like, you are violating your restraining order by being here. And I was ooh.
I think he was probably, I mean, he's definitely some type of alcoholic because they thought he was drunk. And not like, I'm not saying like he's not reformed at this point or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like at some point, whenever that restraining order was put in place, he was an alcoholic. He was like,
yeah,
just a menace to his own family.
Because no one believes him.
Exactly. That was the best part. Oh, my God. They use so many classic things.
Yeah. So, they're all fighting. This dog, who's the size of this... Who's, like 5 times the size of this tiny child.
What kind of dog was it? Do you remember?
I would hazard to guess probably, like...
It's a big dog with, like, the droopy face.
I was thinking, like, a St. Bernard, like, a Beethoven.
It's not that furry, though.
That's true. Hold on. When
evil lurks.
Dog. Hold on, let's see. Dog scene. Literally the first thing that pops up. That's God. So fucking funny. I don't know. I'm not good at dog breeds, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It's shorter hair. It's a bigger dog.
Literally, like, the mix between, like... a pit bull and a Saint Bernard.
Yeah,
like,
it's
literally like a Saint Bernard ass looking dog, but with like pit bull fur patterns. Anyway, oh God, it's a fucking photo of Uriel.
God damn it! So it
he just looks damp.
Yeah, Holden.
I was gonna say Holden. God damn it,
Holdenators. No,
no.
So they're all arguing, and again, like Alex said earlier, you get that, like, flashback of your parents arguing in the kitchen. And the shot, that fucking great shot right behind the kid and the dog with them blurred out in the background, right before the dog just bites her in the head and drags her off screen.
And then you pan over, and you see the little kid who saw the whole thing.
And... shock. Honestly, the child actress in this movie, great.
Excellent.
But he comes down and you catch her legs on the ground as the dog again pulls her off screen. Oh my God.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah, it's a great movie. Honestly, I could talk about this movie forever, but any other points that you want to touch on before I get to some reviews?
The scene. So the scene when he sees Sabrina walking with with Santino,
mm-hmm.
the brother, when he sees them and he hits her with the car because she's ripping him apart as she's walking in the middle of the street, hits her with the car, pins her against the tree. We get lore that nobody was ready for. That brother was fucking brother's wife, where she was like, you said you loved me. And I was like, what? And then cuts off. Also, another underrated scene.
Yes.
Is when Jer comes in the house
mm-hmm.
with alone with grandma. And he's like, hey, grandma, I'm hungry. And I'm getting kind of cold. Fucking perfect Spanish, no stutter, not autistic at all.
Yeah, this kid, in this movie, the dude has two children. One of them is very autistic, nonverbal, can't walk, like, you know, like, is in diapers, like, very, like, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not even going to say, because I don't want to say it wrong and say something offensive.
He's very, like, he needs the help.
Yeah.
And, like... you know, and that was a big point they made. And I was like, fuck, dude. Like,
yeah. And then all the while crazy shit is happening at this schoolhouse, you just see him walk in and talk. And then the grandma's like, what the fuck is going on? And guess what? That's the last time we see grandma.
Until
the very end of the movie. Until he
tosses a fucking her hairball.
Grandma hairball.
And Pedro loses his fucking mind.
Yeah.
Oh my god. This movie, man. Let's get to these reviews because I need to know.
Absolutely. Okay, starting off on Letterboxd, we got a 3.6 out of 5 out of 162,000 ratings.
Wow. So I'm a little shocked, but also not. Let's get it.
It has a highest average rating, like 32% of is it for it's 4 stars.
Okay.
So, you know, that's pretty, I'd say that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the movie is without criticisms. First review, 3.5 stars, user Ezra. Demons have trouble understanding autism, apparently.
Oh my god, I'm so glad, but I like that idea, where, like, they don't present autism as, like, a weakness to demons. It's almost a weakness against demons, because the way, I mean, again, without sounding as bad as it is, like, the demons can't figure out the autistic brain and the way the brain thinks, that it struggles with taking over for them.
Sure.
And I was like, dude, honestly, again, without sounding
it's
terrible,
a great concept.
It makes so much sense. Like, people who have these, like, mental disabilities, I like that idea of, like, demons struggling with people who have, like, a mental problem.
I like the idea of getting possessed by a demon and then just being like, damn, bitch, you live like this? Because he's just like, I'm sad all the time.
Well, so the idea of, like, why does everything hurt in here? Like, that meme where they're like, why does everything hurt in here? I don't know, bro, but it's your problem now. Like, go ahead. Because that's fucking great. And it makes so much sense.
Totally.
That, like, the demons also suffer, too. They don't get a free ride because, you know, people think that the people with these problems are, quote-unquote, mentally weaker.
Right.
It actually makes it more difficult.
Difficult, yeah.
And they describe it as a prison. When grandma was talking about, she's like, it's a prison. No, it wasn't grandma. It was
the teacher.
The old cleaner, yeah.
Yeah.
Where she was like, it's a prison for them because they can't figure it out.
I rated this far lower than I should have.
What'd you
do? On Letterboxd. I gave it 3 stars.
Ma'am.
Okay, to be fair, I was really grossed out. Also,
you couldn't enjoy your breakfast burrito.
No.
3 stars out of 5. Couldn't enjoy my burrito.
Couldn't eat my breakfast.
Slaps, though.
Slaps, though. No, I think, because also, I didn't watch it in one sitting either. That weekend, there was a lot going on. Mm. So I did end up taking a stress nap in between, because the movie stressed me out, and also life circumstances were stressing me out. So I was just like, and then when I came back to it, I feel like I missed some stuff. Because towards the end, I started getting sleepy.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, you know, nodding off. And I was like, I can't listen to Spanish. And I'll fall asleep immediately.
Yeah.
But I it's probably closer to, like, a 3.5-4 for me. But we have user Corey with 4.5 stars.
Ooh.
Saying, these birth control ads are getting out of hand.
He's not even wrong.
No.
Fuck.
Any horror movie with children, it should be put, like, should be playing scary scenes from horror movies should be playing next to Plan B at all times. Like, they should have a screen next to
Honestly,
Plan B display.
Anytime people go in for, like, you know, doctor, I think I'm pregnant, like, I passed some tests, but I need you to get in there, whatever. Like, yes, of course, you are pregnant. Before you leave, please watch this 99-minute movie about what the kids do to you. Demons and shit.
I do like this one. George Carmi with 3.5 stars. In a film filled with disgustingly savage imagery, relentless anxiety, and gross sadistic tendencies, the mention of quote-unquote apple ice cream was the biggest offense of them all. That's nasty work.
Yeah.
Is honestly, that like a Latin, like an Argentinian thing?
It might be. Like, I think it's a Spanish thing, because have you had manzanita?
I love manzanita.
But that's the thing, is like, When I've mentioned that to people, I mean, I know, obviously, you're the only white in this brown network of podcasts.
Yeah.
But, like, when I've mentioned that to, like, you know, my white friends or people who aren't raised like that, they were like, what the fuck is apple soda? And it's good. It's literally just apple cider, but like not the full cider scent. It's a little soda.
Right.
But like, I don't know, something about apple ice cream kind of threw me off because I don't think I've ever had apple ice cream.
Like, I've had Manzanita, of course, but also, but like the only thing I could think of as a comparison would be like apple, like Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, when I think of like, you know, I don't know.
That's honestly, I literally thought of Manzanita and apple Jolly Rancher and then added milk I was like, take the bubbly away, but keep smooth.
Yeah, because I'm imagining like green apple ice cream.
It was green.
Yeah.
When he gave it to him.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
It was green.
Anyway, anyone listening who is an enjoyer of apple ice cream, please...
Yeah. Side stories, lbfpl at gmail.com.
No, wrong podcast.
Yeah, please don't do that to them. What? They're going to be so confused.
What?
Dude, really quick. Speaking of Jared and his apple ice cream, the scene when the first night of them at Mirta's house, when Jared's leaning against the window and he's freaking out because his mom's walking up and she puts her hand on the window. I was like, dude, I see her coming the whole time, and it's still like, huh!
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's also like the kid is nonverbal autistic, and
he speaks though. Even before the scene with grandma, because he starts repeating things in the car.
In the way that, like, nonverbal in the sense that, like, he, you know, like, he can't have a conversation.
Exactly.
But this sound he makes, like, his vocal stimming. No, and, yeah, when he's just like, and, like, they used it as a way to build tension, like, the vocal stimming. And I was just like, my God. It was stressing me out. Oh, yeah. Hold on, let's see.
Let's get another fun one.
Yeah. There, I'm looking. The hater ones are all long and thought out. which is annoying.
And how dare they?
How dare you have brain cells? Okay, so this is a 2-star review, Zach Moore. I'm picking, I'm just reading a line. Do you ever watch a movie where the lead character drives you absolutely crazy with just about every decision they make? Well, get ready to meet this fucking guy, the final boss when it comes to absolute dumb fucks who are equal parts unlikable as they are irrational. Who did Mr. Complete Lack of Charisma bring to the party? A whole slew of other dumbasses whose decision making is questionable at best. There's a lot more to this review, but that's very funny.
You know what, though? Like, I mean, again,
I stand by what I said. When you're in it, like, when you're stressed out, like, you can't really articulate well.
And he's reacting the way he's reacting, and, like, I get where the way he comes from. But also, I think, like, I related to a lot of what he was doing. I was like, holy fuck, dude. Like, of course, looking back, that was the wrong thing to do. But, like, when you're in that moment and you're panicking, you got your brother with you and all this stuff, like, and you're having to put your brother in line. You put your brother in check too.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, man.
Okay, 1-star. Chris Plant. Hard to say what I dislike most. The inconsistent and ever-changing rules. I will say I did kind of harp on that a little bit.
Yeah.
The vacant metaphor. The millennial, we live in a hell world philosophy. The butt rock credit song.
I'm not gonna lie, the credit song was pretty dope.
I think
it was it was a Spanish metal song. Yeah. You're sitting there like,
all right. Cool. Kind of fucks. Yeah. I think the creators meant well with their depiction of autism, but what a fucking whiff. Minor spoilers that the demonic possession rules apply the same for neurotypical people and animals, but not an autistic teenager because their brain is some sort of trap. I mean, come on. I think it could be read either way.
Yeah, I get why people would be upset about it.
I think people like being outraged about things, and I think getting mad about that isn't necessarily the flex that they think it is.
Yeah.
And exactly the same way that you were talking about it, where, like, people with neurodivergences, people with autism, like, their brains are wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's like, that's a through line that I can see. I can see where this guy's coming from, though, with, like, animals and neurotypical people react the same way, kind of putting autistic people on a different plane from, like, animals. That's the only, like, but that's a stretch. That is a fucking stretch.
I feel like the animal thing makes a little more sense because it's very much like it's an animal's brain.
Yeah.
It's eat, survive, and sleep.
Sure.
And, like, that's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, man, fuck, they did this.
It was, yeah, it was good. 4 stars from user NDC32002.
All right. Shout out to their gamer tag.
Theater kids do be like that. Those were some creepy fucking kids.
Dude, when we get to the school scene, spoiler.
Yeah.
And I'm texting Alex the entire time. I'm like, yo, these kids are creepy as fuck. And then she's like, the creepiest. And I'm like, fuck, this is happening. Fuck, fuck. And I like start flipping my coffee table at home. But also, the little girl.
Okay, quick follow-up on that one. Mm-hmm. Jack Meyer, 3 stars. Of course the source of all evil comes from the stage of a children's theater. Continue.
Hell yeah. But the little girl who was like the leader liar, like, she seemed very familiar. She looks like somebody I've seen in stuff before.
Hmm.
And I know she's not. Whoever the fuck I'm relating her to, she's not. But she looked very familiar.
Hmm, okay.
But also, man.
Man, I wish I could read fast in Spanish. Oh, this one is definitely not Spanish. That is Portuguese.
When Kid Demon is birthed out of Uriel, and you see him just walk out, just covered in blood.
Gross.
And he rubs his fingers on his head. I'm sitting there like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Because it let him live. Because he knows what's about to happen.
Yeah.
But also, shout out to Autistic Boy's drawing.
Yeah.
And I was like, this movie is doing so much. Yeah. There's so many levels.
There's so many levels. Huge film guy, 3 stars. Ate your grandma? Hey now. Oh,
shit.
Yeah, these reviews are great. This is, oh, yeah. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I think we're good on short and quippy, but, man, what a movie. What a fucking movie.
I gotta recommend it. Even if you hate it, you gotta watch it.
Ah, 3 stars. Last one. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Haunted Hippie with 3 stars. Watch this if being voluntarily depressed is the vibe you're aiming for.
Yep. It didn't help.
No, it did not. But it was, it, you know what?
I still had fun.
It was so fun, and I'm glad I got to drag you down with me. Any final notes before we wrap this up on this long-ass review?
Final notes. I'm, again, like I said at the beginning, I'm very upset it took me this long to watch the movie.
Same.
I had a great time. Honestly, compared to Dark and the Wicked... And no disrespect to Dark and the Wicked, I fucking loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch this again, and I have before I watched Dark and the Wicked. Like, totally. I would watch it this show. Like, I would watch it for fun before I watched Dark and the Wicked again.
I feel like they're, like, for Dark and the Wicked, it was just, like, more depressing than it was scary. This was equal parts depressing and scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think they built up the characters a little more. Like, Dark and the Wicked, they were like, here's the characters, it's fucking happening.
Right.
Where, like, this one, they're like, here's characters, it's happening, but you don't know why.
Yeah, and then there's more stuff happening.
Yeah.
And then there's more stuff happening.
And here's, like,
and then
here's 4 other conflicts you have to worry about. And
it's just so much.
Disappears into the bushes like Homer. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
I will say, the scene where the guy gets possessed and drives the car into his family, that's kind of got me.
Dude, that scene...
Because also the little girl is just like, we're about to die.
So, she specifically says...
Oh yeah, you've seen it recently.
She says, Dad is going to kill you when he comes home. And she goes, what? Then it cuts away to fucking Pedro gathering his youths, or he's... You know, it's him getting the car keys.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Dad's going to come home and he's going to hit you with a truck. And she's confused, but she still embraces her. And then the fucking truck comes through. I noticed this time because I was ready for it, but it still fucked me up. He hits her and Vicky flies to the side. And then when the town wakes him up and you see Vicky dancing, I'm like, oh. I mean, even when you saw her the first time, when they're like, oh, your daughter's back, all this stuff, yeah. and she has no marks on her, I'm like, that kid's possessed.
For sure.
That kid's a demon.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I think that
but
was
the,
intentional.
Yeah, but yeah. then when they went for the full, like, you're gonna die up there.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Pees again, on the carpet.
Again, take your birth control.
Yeah, that kid was fucking terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
That girl deserves an award for being a creepy kid.
Oh, yeah. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and call it here. Unless there's one last thing. You look like you have one more thing you want to say.
What are you going to accurately rate this movie?
Out of five
people getting pinned against a tree.
I will give this... God, it's honestly watching... You're like being involved with you watching it brought me a lot of joy. I'm gonna say 4 stars. I'm gonna give it 4 bowls of Manzanita ice cream.
God damn it.
That's what I'm gonna give it. What about you?
I'm gonna give it 4, maybe 4.25.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun with this movie.
It's a rough one, but it's very good.
It's hard to watch, but you have a good time. Especially if like
this really popped this off for shit. The mentally ill people. This has popped off for the mentally ill, I'm not gonna lie.
I was so today when we went to the fucking bar to have a beer before I came here,
mm-hmm.
My friends that came through, it was one of the guys that didn't like Skinamarink, but I was telling him about Late Night with the Devil,
mm-hmm.
and him and his girlfriend watched it, and he was like, bro, loved it. Like, it blew his fucking mind, and so I've been telling him, I was like, dude, this movie, I need you to watch it. Don't eat from two people are telling you now, don't eat.
Don't.
And I was like, it's so good. I think he's going to dig it. I had another person tell me, he actually yelled at me. He was like, I don't know what your problem is that you haven't seen this movie yet. He loved it.
Yeah, so good.
So, I recommend to everybody, watch this movie. I think you're going to fucking dig it. At least a piece of it. There's no way you rate this under 3.
Mm.
In my opinion.
No, I mean, obviously everyone has different opinions, but this was just, it was so well done. And as I've said, and I will continue to say, non-English language horror films just do it better.
Something about, like, out of the U.S.
Yeah.
Out of the U.S. movies.
Asian horror, Spanish horror. Like, there's so much.
I mean, Asian horror just shits on everybody. Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and call it here. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you for bearing with us with our brief week or so hiatus. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the curtain, so we're just, like, trying to get everything back to normal. But fret not. Everything's fine. Next week. What's next week? Next week is the last week of May.
Ooh.
I'm not sure, because we have a bunch of Monster May picks that we may or may not still be doing, so we need to figure that out. So you're just gonna have to tune in next week and find out. In the meantime, if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest of all of our podcasting shenanigans, you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. And Danny, plug your shit.
Ooh, you're not going to plug my shit. I know you do it for the other two every time. Yeah,
I'm not going to plug fucking Flynn and Phil's Instagram. Do you want me to follow Danny on Instagram at Rathchild?
That's it, Rathchild714. Follow me on Untapped at Rathchild714.
Follow him on Blue Sky.
Please, Blue Sky.
Don't follow him on Blue Sky. It's a scam.
If you have Blue Sky, if you don't, I will send you
your
referral link. Oh, I have 5. But yeah, follow my other podcast, Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry?
On the Horrible People's Network, Hops and Notes Pod. On Instagram. It's beer and music.
He's staging a mutiny. He's taking over Horrible People.
I'm going to take over at some point. It's going to be me yelling at everybody, making them watch terrible movies that are going to ruin their life.
Yeah.
Next up, Cannibal Holocaust.
Fuck you! Hops and Notes, talk about that.
Yeah, Hops and Notes. It's beer and music. Alex has been on there. Ruben's been on there. Phil's been on there. Connor's been on there. I got to get James and Anthony on at some point. I have a thing planned with James. We just got to figure out a day to record.
It'd be and also like that.
Give us enough time to listen to and take notes on said album.
Fuck yeah.
But hyped. Turning Tables as well. Turning Tables yes. Pod on Instagram. Listen to Alex put us through so much emotional trauma. It's a lot of fun.
I love it. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And hey, listen, if you come across a body that's been cut in half in the woods, maybe just pretend you didn't see it and walk the other way.
Maybe move.
Maybe move. Bye.
Bye.